Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the manager, the managing editor and writer for Full Press Coverage Chiefs of fullpresscoverage.com. We actually got a lot of news to talk about here on this Friday, in the middle to end part of February. There's just so much going on in the NFL world and just certain news surrounding the Chiefs. So, yeah, a good handful of topics to talk about today. So we're going to just dive right in. There's a lot of CBA news between the players of the NFL and the owners over the last few days. We've seen, talks of the NFL likely increasing the teams to make the postseason from 6 in each conference to 7. And also in that case, the NFL would only give one team a bye in each conference instead of two, like we've seen for so long. So, first off with that, I don't know if I really dislike the fact that, you know, there's more football. I think we're all going to watch the games anyways if there's an extra team in the playoffs. I think for me personally, the only thing I don't really like about that is the fact that 44% of the league or just under would be in the playoffs. I mean, I think it's always been kind of nice to see each, you know, major sports league that I follow, you know, so little the teams actually get the chance to get in. I think it matters that much more in the regular season. I think you see a lot more competitive games that way in the postseason. But yeah, I mean, again, I don't really mind the fact that it's more football. You know, the longer football can go into February for the NFL season, the better. But to me, that's the only thing I guess I'd have a problem with is just, you know, you'd have 14 teams now in the playoffs. And, you know, I just think there shouldn't be that much access to the postseason. It should be a little bit, you know, tougher to make it there like we've seen in past years. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see. Again, I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with that. I mean, because even with the CBA rumors, whether the players agree to it or not, I think they're going to be changing up the postseason picture, it looks like, regardless of if there's a new CBA soon or not. So I think that's kind of separate from the CBA, but this kind of came out within the last few days since our last podcast episode, kind of what the NFL playoff schedule could be coming up within either the next 2 years or maybe even this next year. They're already going to go to a 7 team playoff for each conference. Only one team will get a bye. So it's really interesting. If you look back on the Chiefs season, you know, they would not have had a first-round bye in that scenario like they did this year. They would have played, I believe it was the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, it probably would have been a win for the Chiefs anyways, but you're talking playing one extra team before, you know, getting to the Super Bowl. It's really interesting. So, I think it's an interesting idea. I like it probably more in the NFL than what the MLB is thinking of doing with expanding their amount of teams for the playoffs soon, too. But I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. But kind of sticking with the CBA talks, you know, kind of sticking with stuff that is increasing. It looks like for a while now, the owners of the teams have been wanting to have a 17th game in the regular season. You know, it's been 16 for a long time. And I don't know if this is necessarily a bad thing. I guess with scheduling, you know, how are they going to do that? Yeah, you're used to seeing each team get 8 games as the home team, 8 games as the road team in the regular season. I don't know if they'd make some teams play neutral site games, depending on what game it is on the schedule, or if you just alternate maybe each year between having 9 home games or 9 road games. That'd be something that's pretty interesting. The thing that's kind of, you know, really stunk for the players, though, in this situation with the rumors we've heard about this, is the owners would get a lot more percent of the money made with that 17th regular season game than the players would. The players would really only gain, I think the number I saw was only like a 0.5% difference from their 16-game regular season schedule. So The players are definitely getting screwed a little bit with that situation, and the owners have already actually agreed to this new CBA and its parameters. And the fact that this news really wasn't coming out, you know, largely until Tuesday or Wednesday this week, and the owners have already kind of agreed to it yesterday on Thursday. I don't really think that that sounds very good for the players if they've already kind of made those decisions. And, you know, the owners obviously just want more money in their pockets. So I think the players, you know, what I always like about seeing guys getting paid big money contracts is it's the players that are finally earning their keep and their pay. So with the owners getting more money here than the players with that 17th regular season game, it's really surprising if the players were to agree to that. I saw a couple tweets, you know, come out yesterday after we saw the news that the owners had already agreed and voted on it. And J.J. Watt was a guy that said, you know, hard no to this proposed CBA. I think Packers offensive tackle David Bakhtiari was talking a lot about the numbers that were involved with the money and the percentages. So it's really going to be interesting because I think right now the NFL's in a good position. You know, the ratings have continued to climb. I mean, the rating for the Super Bowl was pretty incredible given, you know, the two markets of the teams that were in the games with Kansas City and San Francisco. Not like people weren't going to watch the Super Bowl anyways, but that's pretty huge to see, you know, the numbers that the Super Bowl got and what those drew. So the NFL's in a good place right now, but I think the players are really, really going to have to sit back and look at this. And I know they already have, but and really kind of think hard for themselves here. So it's going to be interesting. I know the CBA talks are going to continue here going into the off season. You know, I know a couple other things as we're inching closer to free agency and the trades that'll be happening this offseason. Part of the new CBA with that extra regular season game and probably extra playoff game, teams will have more players on the roster than what they have now. I think, you know, you have 53-man roster, 46 are active for game days with the 7 inactive. So I could see them maybe trying to get it to where it's 53 active players for game days, maybe 60 total active on the roster. Again, it's really going to be interesting. I think that the players will eventually agree to something, but right now it's going to take a lot to for the players to really want to open up to this idea that the owners have already agreed to and voted on for themselves. So that's just some latest CBA news and what could be changing in the NFL format for the future, both in the playoffs and with the scheduling. So that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to monitor here over the offseason and probably over the weekend as well. Another topic, real quick news this morning. We kind of talked about it last week on Friday's episode that Eric Bieniemy was being considered for the head coaching job at the University of Colorado, the Chiefs offensive coordinator. That's where, you know, he went to school at his alma mater. Was a running back there in the late 80s and in 1990. And the news broke late last night, early this morning, that he has turned down the job. We talked about it last week. I think that was kind of expected for the most part because, you know, even though it's been really tough to see Bieniemy not get a head coaching gig yet, he should be, you know, should be a pretty strong candidate again going into next year. A few teams I already have thought about, you know, would be pretty good fits for him, depending on how they do this year. Atlanta is one of them, maybe the New York Jets, who I thought could have hired him back going into 2019, basically last offseason. So, you know, it's really interesting. I think Bieniemy is a guy that knows, too, that he's probably pretty close to getting a head coaching job. If it's not anywhere else, Andy Reid will eventually retire. I mean, you never know. He could wait until Andy Reid retires, stick on his staff that long, and maybe become the coach of the Chiefs and stick with Patrick Mahomes in that good situation in Kansas City. But, yeah, I think the odds hopefully are pretty high that he will land a head coaching job pretty soon. We also talked last epi or last week on the episode about Bienemy, being considered for the job. It's so late in the hiring process for college football that, hiring the right assistants and recruiting players, it's just so tough to kick things off at this point in the off season of college football and heading into the spring. So I think it's a good decision for Bienemy in a lot of ways. Again, head coaching jobs should be there for him, hopefully in the future, at the NFL level. And I kind of talked last week, I think when you go to coaching, especially at your alma mater, I think you're almost stuck there basically for 3 years, meaning that, because it's your alma mater, they're going to give you a lot of time to try to make things right. And basically, if you go through a couple of, 4 and 8 or 5 and 7 seasons at best, you feel like you're just wasting your time, spinning your tires and not really getting anywhere at the college level. A lot of coaches love going back to college or going to college for the first time and coaching down there, but I think Bienemy, like I said last week, is better suited for the NFL level. So, and again, right now he's in a good situation with one of the top 5 offenses in the league, one of the best quarterbacks in the league with Patrick Mahomes, a team that just won the Super Bowl. So, I think it's a good decision to turn down the job. But I do hope Colorado gets a good head coach soon. I know Brett Bielema has been considered there. Former Wisconsin coach has been at the NFL level with the Patriots the last couple of years. Was former Arkansas head coach as well. So there's still some good options there. But yeah, I think it's a good decision for Eric Bieniemy there. So kind of moving on here, we'll go to the latest article topic since our last episode, and we'll also talk the season finale of the franchise episode for the behind the scenes video series that the Chiefs video staff has been putting out, which has been amazing to see. So we'll talk about that coming up soon, but we will take a real short break here. All right, welcome back. This is the FBC Chiefs podcast here on a Friday. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor and writer for Full Press Coverage Chiefs of fullpresscoverage.com. So far today, we've talked Eric Bieniemy turning down the head coaching gig at his alma mater of Colorado, and also the latest CBA talks, rumors. Will the NFL for sure be adding a 17th regular season game soon? It looks like that's possible, as well as a 7-team playoff format for each conference. So we've already dived into a couple of things already. Now we're going to talk real quick about some of the latest article topics that we've wrote about since our last podcast episode on Tuesday. So most of all, we've kind of just been continuing the draft prospect profiles. I'm a big fan of the NFL draft, and really excited for this draft in 2020. As fun as it's been to kind of cover the draft the last couple of years, I could not be more excited for this year's class, just because there's so many star-studded players that would make an impact right away on teams. And also, combined with how many big name free agents or possible trade targets there is in the NFL level, it's going to be a wild offseason. So I'm really excited for the draft. We've had 2 draft profiles so far that have been published since the last podcast episode. So the first one was one of my favorites, TCU cornerback Jeff Gladney. He's a guy that I think, very athletic corner, dominant and physical on the outside. And TCU's known, I think, for having a very athletic prospect profile going into the NFL for their players. So basically the biggest thing that stood out to me with Jeff Gladney, I've talked with some other people about him before I wrote this piece, but I think the biggest thing that stood out to me when I really dived into his tape a little bit more, it was impressive to see how complete of a player he already is, I think, at the end of his TCU career. You look at his coverage skills, I kind of wrote that he's not afraid to punch you in the mouth as a cornerback. He likes to get physical, knows he can use his length, and recovers really well. In man coverage, he's very sticky. He stays near the hip of the receiver. If you remember going into last year's NFL draft, there was a wide receiver from Iowa State named Tekeem Butler. Some thought he could go pretty high, but he ended up going, I think, day three. Was pretty much inactive all of his rookie year. That was a game where Jeff Gladney had going in a pretty big assignment, and he shut Tekeem Butler down basically for, I think it was one or two catches and no more than 20 yards. So he had a lot of big plays in that game. Actually had a pass breakup at the end of the game there to beat Iowa State back in 2018. So he times up his pass breakups really well. There's some plays in 2019, if you look on that Jeff Gladney draft prospect profile article that we wrote, there's some videos there. His game against Texas in 2019, there was a couple plays where Texas threw the ball into the end zone. Wide receiver Colin Johnson or Devin Duvernay had the ball. Looked like it was going to be a touchdown, but Gladney got the hand in there at the last second to break it up. It's really interesting how many of his pass breakups actually come after the receiver's already gotten a pretty firm grasp of the ball in his hand. So, and also just his timing, he has a great nose for the football anyways. I mean, even if he's not right up against the receiver, he ends up tipping the ball a lot and creating some interception chances for his teammates. So pretty good man coverage. If there is one downfall to his man coverage game, he can get beat inside fairly easily. You know, just doesn't have as elite of footwork as some other cornerbacks. But you know, he recovers pretty quickly, I think, with his speed and downhill running ability. So in zone coverage, he's pretty comfortable. He's actually pretty patient. You know, he's not going to get too anxious and rush to where his landmarks will be and his coverage spacing will be. He lets, you know, the quarterback pick and choose where he wants to throw the ball, and if it comes his way, he just tries to make a play and knock it down. You don't really see him get beat too often deep either. I think the biggest thing when you see him get beat, though, again, it's the recovery and, you know, getting back within two, three steps of the receiver downfield. As far as his feet and hips, we talked about it a little bit already. His hips and feet are very quick and active. There is times when he can, you know, like we said, get beat inside, but I think he mirrors the receivers pretty well that when he does not get beat. And again, just not getting caught off guard or getting beat deep, that's a great attribute to have. His ball skills, we already kind of talked about that a little bit, but Jeff Gladney, I think, very competitive. I think, you know, he possesses an attitude that you want from the cornerback position. Great pride in every rep. Does not really, you know, play dirty or, you know, talk a lot of trash to the opposing receiver, but he's going to light you up and play physical, punch you in the mouth every play. So he's not, you know, gonna always have the belief that he's going to, you know, shut you down. But I think the biggest thing is, even if you make the catch, Jeff Gladney is always going to try to make a play on the football and, you know, try to wrestle you to the ground. So his tackling's not horrible. I think, you know, he's definitely got room to improve, but he sets himself up pretty well. So not the most polished tackler, but sets himself up pretty well with the physicality and, you know, placing himself on the field with his angles and coming up downhill. So the Chiefs fit, you know, I think he can thrive in both man and zone coverage. His quickness is something that really, to me, from what I remember, the Chiefs have not had at the cornerback position in a long time. You look at Charvarius Ward, you know, he's not the slowest corner in the league, but, you know, he's more of a guy that relies on technique. You think of other pass cornerbacks for the Chiefs like Brandon Flowers, same kind of thing. Marcus Peters obviously was more of a guy that cheated and watched the quarterback with his zone coverage ability. I think this is a guy that could provide a lot of quickness. And again, the smarts, the stickiness in coverage, high quality athlete. I think Jeff Gladney would definitely fit in well with the urgent style of Charvarius Ward, Rashad Fenton, Tyrann Mathieu, and Juan Thornhill. So Jeff Gladney, one of my favorites. I think he's got a good chance to go round one, maybe slip into the beginning of round two at worst, but Really excited to see where he goes, and if it's the Chiefs, I'll definitely be excited. So, really excited to see where Jeff Gladney goes. I was happy to write about him already in this early in the draft process. As far as another draft prospect profile, our latest one came out before recording this episode yesterday on Thursday was our second offensive lineman piece, talking about Michigan's Cesar Ruiz. And our first offensive lineman piece was about Lloyd Cushenberry III. The thing that Ruiz and Lloyd Cushenberry III have in common is they both are centers. So I think Cushenberry has the ability to play guard a little bit more than Ruiz does at the NFL level, but I don't think it's impossible to say Cesar Ruiz could be moved to guard. It's just Ruiz does not have the length in his arms that Cushenberry does. So he's more of a technician type of guy when blocking in his pass sets. But impressive footwork, really, really strong lower half, thick wide base. I also wrote that, he could improve still with his steps and his movement, and just placing himself in better positions to go and attack opposing defenders with his blocks. But powerful anchor and the just the athleticism and flexibility that he has is really impressive for the center position, especially again not having that length in his arms that other guys have. Again, he's a pretty clean, polished, determined player, but you'll see a lot of plays on Cesar Ruiz tape that he gets pretty nasty. He'll play with a tenacious style. So if he is disengaged, you will see him go headhunting down the field for another defender. So very exciting things, I think, from Cesar Ruiz. He's the kind of guy that personally, I think it's just one of those things. Ruiz is just kind of guy, very stout, and I feel like he's kind of just he's got obviously a high draft stock right now, especially for the interior offensive lineman, but overall, it almost just feels like he's a guy that plays with kind of a quiet nature or style, and then out of nowhere can punch you in the mouth. So very versatile player up front. I think he can fit in any offensive style, which is good for I think one like the Chiefs, where it can be very complex at times, what kind of game they're going to try to run and throw at defenses. Are they going to try to use more play action some games? Are they going to try to use more zone blocking when they need to, run out the clock? So Ruiz is a guy that I think would fit the Chiefs pretty well and also brings a lot of starting experience coming into the NFL. 3 years where he logged starts at Michigan for the Wolverines. So, again, length is a little underwhelming, but overall, we'll see. I think Ruiz is going to be a guy that's going to work hard. You're going to have a lot of options for him at the NFL level. So those are the last two draft profiles that have come out. There will be one out today later on Friday after this episode is recorded. I've already typed it up. It's ready to go and be published. Georgia running back DeAndre Swift. And I talked last week about J.K. Dobbins, and I thought J.K. Dobbins maybe was my top running back in the class, but man, I rewatched some more at Swift, and I just don't know who to pick between those two, but I think it comes down to those guys who the best running back is. I still want to lean Dobbins a little bit, but if you're talking what truly fits the Chiefs, it may actually be DeAndre Swift. Very, very patient runner. So kind of, I guess, a preview for what's to come when the DeAndre Swift draft profile comes out. Very patient runner, runs with a lot of power, can one cut you or juke you out in a hurry, makes a lot of defenders look silly out in space. But man, his pass catching and his pass protection really surprised me. His pass catching, Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm, even for his receivers, it seems like puts his guys and his weapons in a lot of difficult positions. So DeAndre Swift's a guy where, a running back, some guys as a running back, you're going to have a lot of wide open room to run after the catch. Swift really has to work hard. It's impressive how many yards after the catch he actually gets, because there's a lot of plays where Jake Fromm dumped it off to him, on a basically a check down route, and Swift had two guys on him in the backfield, and he was able to spin out and create some extra yards. So very, very impressive with the pass catching, you know, natural hands, and he's actually run out wide. He's got a pretty well-developed route tree for a running back coming into the NFL. So I think DeAndre Swift, maybe he's actually a better fit for the Chiefs than J.K. Dobbins. I don't know if, again, you know, we talked last week about the running back position, especially with how Damian Williams has found a home with Kansas City in that offense. But I do think running back is going to be taken sometime in this draft by Kansas City, or at least, you know, with the undrafted free agents or free agency. I think they'll add to the running back position somewhere this offseason. So DeAndre Swift is a guy just really fun to watch on tape. There's, you know, so much fun game film to watch from 2018. But even as good as his 2018 film was, his 2019 film was a lot more impressive to me, seeing him take those steps forward. So that will be out later today after this is recorded, later on here on Friday. Also hoping to have another article come out as well today on Friday. Hopefully, it's going to be talking, you know, about Brett Beach. We talked last episode. We're going to have a lot of different articles coming up soon where we're going to be basically playing general manager and, you know, imagining what we would do if we were in Brett Beach's shoes. A lot of big decisions to make for the general manager. So that other piece will hopefully be out today. So this podcast episode and those two article pieces should be out later today here on Friday. As far as, I guess, one other real quick article we had come out since the last podcast episode on Tuesday, we continued our Chiefs Unsung Super Bowl series with the heroes that, you know, helped the team get to that point, but maybe didn't obviously get to enjoy playing in the Super Bowl. We talked about Emmanuel Ogba last week. We talked about another defensive end in the last Unsung Super Bowl hero piece. So Alex Okafor is a guy that was new to the team this year, signed a 3-year deal, $24 million total when you add up the incentives. A guy who started in Arizona, went to New Orleans, had some good years there. Okafor's a guy that, you know, like the team had at times this season, went through his own trials and tribulations, you know, had, you know, a good start for a couple of games, then struggled a little bit for a couple of games, and then you see him get hurt in a very, very rough-looking ankle injury where he rolled his ankle against the Green Bay Packers, misses 3 games after that. He comes back for a couple games, the big, big win against the Patriots. You know, he had a big sack in that game and then had a big sack against the Broncos the following week. But on that sack, landed kind of wrong after tackling Drew Locke, so tore his pectoral muscle on that play, just like Emmanuel Ogba did earlier. So both of those guys we talked about for the Unsung Super Bowl Heroes series, and both new to the team in 2019, both defensive ends, but tough ways to go out at certain points in the regular season. So Okafor's a guy, not the most flashy player, but I think one of the more two-way players that isn't as noticed, just because, again, he's more of an underrated guy, not one of the top names looked at or viewed around the league. But even in New Orleans, before coming to Kansas City, he was just as good at the run, against the run, if not better, than he was as a pass rusher. And I think that kind of was proved in 2019. So some people always look to the sack numbers with defensive ends and pass rushers. But if you look at what Okafor did in New Orleans, he was pretty much the exact same player when he was really, really rolling for Kansas City in his first year here, 2019, and graded out pretty well against the run. So I think that's encouraging, you know, tough way to see him go down at the end of the regular season. But it's encouraging to see what he did at different times this season going into 2020. So we wrote that on Tuesday. So those are kind of the last few article ideas that we've had come out, as well as the ones that should be out here later today on Friday. And yeah, there's just so many draft profiles that I want to continue to roll out here as we make our way into April's draft in a couple of months. Also with free agency, you know, there's a lot of guys that have been, you know, thought to be good fits for so many teams in the NFL. But, you know, there's been a couple late players lately that, you know, I'm really interested to see how much traction it actually gains as far as the Chiefs side of things goes, because it hasn't been as prevalent as it has been the last, you know, week or so. Guys like Austin Eckler, running back of the LA Chargers, who is a restricted free agent. The Chiefs could maybe poach him away from a division rival that's, you know, in a little bit of a transition right now. And another guy that I'm really excited to write about hopefully soon is Dez Bryant, former Dallas Cowboy wide receiver. Tried to, you know, give it a go. Not this past season that just ended, but the year before with the New Orleans Saints, but his first week with practicing with them. Tore his Achilles, so never actually played a down with the Saints. Dez Bryant's been working out a lot with Patrick Mahomes and Mecole Hardman and some other guys there. So that's kind of what has helped gain traction with this Chiefs Dez Bryant rumor. And I don't think it's totally impossible, just because, you know, I think he would fit in the offense in probably the Sammy Watkins role, assuming that Watkins is cut or at least, you know, is not with the team going into next season. So Dez Bryant's a guy that I think I've always kind of enjoyed watching him play. So I'm really excited to see, because I know there's a lot of teams that are probably looking at him right now. You know, he's posted a lot of videos. He's gotten back into, you know, working out and starting to show that he's wanting to play in the NFL again. So Dez Bryant and the Chiefs, I might try to write that piece pretty soon, maybe, you know, if not this weekend, next week. So I'm really excited about that rumor right now, even more than probably Austin Eckler, which I probably should be excited for Eckler, because even though he's the running back, he does just as much damage as a receiver than he does a runner. So, but those are kind of the latest rumors that have popped up within the last week as far as some free agent fits. And yeah, really, really excited to write about those upcoming things soon as well. So again, I think that's going to do it for the latest article ideas that we had come out. One last thing I wanted to talk about today, though, was the behind the scenes video series. The Chiefs started it this past off season back in the summer. The franchise, it was a series that had episodes come out every other week up until, you know, late regular season. Then it was just kind of whenever it worked for their timing. 65 Tosh Power Trap Productions did a great job all season long giving behind the scenes footage and videos, and especially with the Chiefs season, the one they had, not just winning the Super Bowl, but going through the injuries and everything and the kind of losses that they had when they lost this year, really only beat themselves. And that's something we'll kind of talk about here in a minute with the season finale episode of the franchise. Just great to see that all year long. So yeah, the season finale episode did come out this past Wednesday, a couple of days ago. Most of it obviously covered the Super Bowl. That's where they were at with the chronological order of the filming and everything. So, you know, they kind of started 10 days before the Super Bowl took place, kind of talking about, you know, just getting the team set up before they left Kansas City to head down to Miami and trying to, you know, Andy Reid trying to cancel the distractions and everything. It's not going to be easy. So that was kind of an interesting start to the episode. And then we saw some stuff from opening night of the media night, media week there at Marlins Park. A lot of people were just, you know, a lot of players on the team were saying how much, you know, they all love Patrick Mahomes. You know, no one else really cares about us. So that was kind of funny to hear some guys say that. And then another thing that was kind of interesting in that one, you could kind of see in this episode, even more emotion from Andy Reid than I think was actually shown nationally on some videos or with the coverage. So really cool to see that from Andy Reid going into the game, not just winning the game. So that was pretty fun to watch. And then obviously, they had highlights from the Super Bowl game night. And there's just something about watching those videos and hearing the radio broadcast of Mitch Holthus. It's just a lot more satisfying than, seeing that video and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman talking from the Super Bowl broadcast. And again, nothing against Joe Buck or Troy Aikman. It's just really cool to see the way that Mitch Holthus announces and the way he talks just fits in so well with those behind the scenes video, and the angles that they have close to the field. So that was pretty cool to watch. They basically took you from the start of the game to the finish, from what they showed at the Super Bowl. They kind of didn't really show a lot of the third quarter. They showed one of Patrick Mahomes' interceptions, what he thought he saw on the play. The linebacker kind of fooled him a little bit and knew exactly what Mahomes was going to do. But yeah, I mean, mostly it was just kind of showing the moments that were, kind of tight in the game early and then at the end. So a lot of cool moments there at the end. I mean, obviously the 3rd and 15 play, Patrick Mahomes, the Tyreek Hill, that was something where, if you remember right before that play, Kyle Shanahan had challenged if Tyreek Hill had caught the ball near midfield for a first down. He obviously didn't. And while they were waiting for that challenge to be, announced as, play stands or reversed, Mahomes was pretty antsy in asking Eric Bieniemy, what are we thinking here? What play do we want to go with? And then he threw out the idea of a play they call Wasp. And it's one where, all four players basically run down the field on a vertical look, but you have that little wrinkle that Tyreek Hill had there on that play from going to the middle of the field back outside on a little bit of a corner route. So just hearing Mahomes mic'd up, as well as Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, those big guns on the team, Chris Jones as well, Travis Kelce. I mean, it was just really, really fun to see what they were saying during that game. And kind of going back to what I said earlier about, most of their losses this season were them really beating themselves. This was the same thing that had happened in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl game. You could hear just the way they were talking to each other, just the fighters that they are. They almost feel more comfortable down 10 points. And that was something that, real quick side note here, I kind of was talking with somebody. If somebody gets down 10 points, I told someone going into this game right then and there for the live betting, you should take the team that's down 10 because they're going to come back. And for the Chiefs, it did happen. So, but yeah, it was just really interesting to see the way they were talking. They knew exactly what mistakes were making. They could see San Francisco, certain things they were recognizing, certain things they know San Francisco wasn't going to be able to stop. So really, really cool to see that, with Mahomes talking about certain plays, what he was seeing. And then obviously at the end of the game, the moments, Mahomes hugging Andy Reid was a great moment. Travis Kelce with his father, his dad saying he's never really gotten the recognition that he's deserved. So that was awesome. And, just the parade part of the episode at the end was pretty cool to see too. How many people were in Kansas City that day, the speeches that the players had, Travis Kelce's being the highlight one probably, and then Andy Reid saying, that the team hopes to be right back there next year. So that was just a great franchise episode again, the season finale, episode 17. Great, great stuff. I mean, obviously, great job by the video and production people there. 65 Power Traps did a great job all year long, and that was a pretty fun episode to see the behind the scenes stuff of the Super Bowl. So that was great stuff. And again, just stay tuned. Full press coverage, Chiefs, fullpresscoverage.com. You guys can follow me on Twitter at eBearcat9, all one word, lowercase of the number 9. Also follow the FPC Chiefs account at FPC Chief, or sorry, FPC underscore Chiefs. We will continue again to roll out some draft profiles, articles about, latest free agent rumors and what Brett Veach could do. Playing Brett Veach, we're going to divide that into different parts. So we're excited to get after that really, really soon. And also just stay tuned to some other podcasts. I know there's a lot of other team podcasts out there that have begun, the FPC Raiders podcast, FPC Packers. There's a lot of good ones. There's good ones out there. There's a lot of other draft content out there. So stay tuned to that and be on the lookout for more of that coverage at fullpresscoverage.com. Some last parting shots, though, that I want to mention here before we go. Full Press Coverage is looking for editors, writers, and podcasters. Visit fullpresscoverage.com/employment for more info. If you are interested in joining the Full Press Coverage team, a lot of good spots out there for a lot of different teams. Great people to work with. So also be sure to visit our friends at sportscaster.com. Bookmark the official Full Press Coverage page, sportscaster.com/fullpresscoverage, for great video content like FPC Radio Live and Pardon the Puck. In addition, you can mention this to anybody, and you can make your own account actually at Sportscaster for free broadcast to sports fans all around the world if you want to put your own voice out there. And also, just stay tuned. Again, Full Press Coverage, Full Press Coverage Chiefs, and I will see you guys next time.